Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You're listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha Garmo.
We got a mix of sun and clouds today in Southeast Michigan on this October 1st. A high of 72 degrees, getting back up to 76 tomorrow on Thursday, 85 on Friday. And it's definitely pool weather over the weekend, 87 on Saturday, 85 on Sunday, 85 on Monday. And then after the 6th, it goes back into fall-like temperatures. And it looks like it's going to stay that way throughout the fall, back into the 60s and high 60s and low 70s. So enjoy the next few days while we have this wonderful weather with us. Today is the feast day of Saint Therese of Lisieux, known as the Little Flower. And I wanted to read to you today an excerpt from the book Praying with the Saints, an inspired collection of holy wisdom by Woudine Koenig Bricker. We just had her on Monday, so if you missed that interview, you can go to the Epiphany Archive section and listen to that interview. But she has a wonderful excerpt about St. Therese of Lisieux in her book. And so I wanted to read this to you today on her feast day. And St. Therese is so widely quoted among the saints, and I'll share some of those quotes with you as well. But her 1873 to 1897 is when she lived. The Little Flower is one of the most popular and beloved saints of the modern era. Ironically, she became a saint not by performing great miracles, but by doing little things with great love. Therese was the last of nine children of a pious couple, Saints Louise and Zélie Martin. Her mother died when she was just 4 years old, a traumatic experience that left Therese insecure and devoted to her father. When her elder sister Pauline, whom she'd considered a second mother, entered the Carmelites, Therese desired to follow her. She was so intent on this vocation that when she was just 14, she personally begged Pope Leo VIII to bend the rule that restricted entry until age 16 and to command the superior who had forbidden her entry until she was 21 to let her in. Undoubtedly stunned, Pope Leo told her to follow the proper procedures, and when she again begged him, he replied, "Will you enter if God wills it?" And then the Swiss guard removed her. Apparently God did will it. Therese was allowed to become a Carmelite at Pauline's convent, which her older sister Marie also had joined within a few months. She spent the rest of her life perfecting her little way, putting up with frustrating companions, obeying superiors, and finishing the laundry. So ordinary did she appear that some of the sisters in her convent were unaware of her remarkable prayer life after her death. She was only 24 when she died of tuberculosis. And so in this book by Woudine Koenig Bricker, she shares some prayers from these saints. And here's a prayer, here's a couple I'll read from St. Therese of Lisieux. Only to love you. My life is an instant, a fleeting hour. My life is a moment which swiftly escapes me. Oh my God, you know that on earth I have only today to love you. Infinite love, oh my divine master, she wrote, it is your justice alone that will receive victims of the Holocaust. How has not also your merciful love need of them? Everywhere it is misunderstood, rejected, the hearts upon which you long so generously to bestow it, turn aside to creatures, and for the miserable pleasure of an instant, ask kindness of them, instead of throwing themselves into your arms, accepting the sweet torrent of your infinite love. And here's another one about only for today. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. My soul aspires to you, and yet for one day, only my simple prayer I pray. Come reign within my heart, smile tenderly on me, today, dear Lord, today. But if I dare take thought of what the morrow brings, that fills my fickle heart with dreary, dull dismay, I crave indeed, my God, trials and sufferings, but only for today. A couple of her famous quotes from St. Therese of Lisieux. What matters in life is not great deeds, but great love. She also said, for me, prayer is an upward leap of the heart, an untroubled glance towards heaven, a cry of gratitude and love, which I utter from the depths of sorrow, as well as from the height of joy. Miss no single opportunity of making small sacrifice. Hear it by a smiling look. There may be kindly words. always doing the smallest right and doing it all for love. So as we celebrate the feast of St. Teresa of Lisieux, ask her for intercessory prayer. Let's ask her to show us, to pray that we see, so the Lord shows us, little things that we can do today to make the difference in the lives of another person. So ask the Lord, ask St. Teresa to pray with you so the Lord can show you little things that you can do today in her honor to make a difference in somebody else's life. Pray that today. Let's also look at Catholic Daily Reflections for a little bit of my coach's commentary and Epiphany insights sprinkled in. We look at the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." At first, this appears to be an unusual response from our Lord. This person appeared to be committing himself to follow Jesus wherever Jesus led. But rather than complimenting the would-be follower, Jesus indicates that there is nowhere for him, this man, to follow him. Instead, he would have to follow him into the unknown. Why would Jesus say this? Did he not want the man to follow him? One thing that passage teaches us is that Jesus was able to read the souls and the intentions of those whom he encountered. Apparently, what the man said was not exactly his true intention. And commenting upon this passage, several church followers point out that the man said what he said not out of a deep desire to follow Christ, but so that he would look good in the eyes of those around Jesus. Jesus knew his true intention and therefore told the man that if he wanted to follow him, he would have to follow him into the unknown. Jesus then spoke to two others about following him, and each time he challenged them to follow him without reservation. The call to follow our Lord is absolute. We cannot half-heartedly follow him. We cannot follow him for selfish reasons. The choice to follow our Lord begins with him calling us interiorly. We must hear his clear voice and invitation. The invitation we'll receive will be one that asks everything of us. Jesus will never call us to give half of our lives to him, or even most of our lives to him. His call is one that demands everything. But demanding everything from us, our Lord is actually giving everything to us. We're only made whole when we give everything to him and follow him without reserve. This is the starting point. And this is something I've reflected on a lot lately. For years, in fact. Because I've talked about this with my friend Karen Banham a few times over the years and other people. You know, I have my foot in ministry, right, here on Catholic Radio, the work that I do. And I also have my foot, another foot, in the secular world as a leadership development coach, a communications consultant. And so one of the things that really prompted me to start the segment Faith at Work Fridays is because I wanted to share with you and myself and reaffirm in myself that in everything that I do, I bring Jesus with me. That's how you follow wholeheartedly. Even though I'm very much part of the secular world, I'm never going to come out compromise my faith for others. And I was talking about this with fellow coaches the other day. I was putting together the second version of my book, Conversations That Create the Culture, 14 Valuable Insights Leaders Gain from a Communication Audit. I include some reflections in there. And I was asking coaches, you know, this is really designed for the secular world, but yet faith is such a part of my life and being a steward of that faith. How can I compromise? How can that not bleed in through the book? And I figured if people are going to be offended by that, then I don't really want to work with them. Those are not the clients for me. And so we have to ask ourselves every single day, if we're fully into following Jesus, then are we taking him with us everywhere we go? Because the choice to follow Jesus also will be done in certain secrecy. It's not that we try to hide our choice to follow him, whether we must follow him with the right intentions. We do not do so because we want others to praise us, admire us, or look up to us. We do not do it to boast our spiritual ego or boost it up. We follow him because we have heard him call and have chosen to respond to that call in the way we are called. Therefore, every choice to follow Jesus must begin in the secrecy of our interior life of prayer. It's our own relationship with him. Once our commitment is firmly established, it will often become visible to others, but that must never be a motivating factor. Once we are firmly committed to follow Jesus, there must be no turning back. Jesus concludes today's gospel saying, "No one who sets his hand to plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The choice to follow Christ requires a death to certain things in our life. As our journey moves forward, there will be temptations to return to our old ways. We'll remember the delights of the past sins, feel the draws to the other paths, and might even experience a man of absolute fidelity to do too much. These experiences must be continuously rejected as temptations and lies. We must never look back to what we have gave up and must always look forward to that which our Lord is calling us. Second-guessing our choice to follow Jesus will be a very real temptation at times. Therefore, our resolve must never waver. So let's reflect today upon the depth of our own decision to follow our Lord. First, consider whether or not you have heard this radical and absolute call echo within the depths of your soul. Only there is a secrecy of your interior life. Will you hear God speak? Second, consider your motivations to follow Jesus. Do you do so to look good in the eyes of others, or do you do it out of love of God? Third, consider whether your commitment is total. It is enough to give most of your life to Christ. He demands everything. Finally, ponder also the fact that there will be many temptations along the way to return to your former sinful way of life. Allow your resolve to eliminate those temptations and continuously recommit yourself to the journey to which you have been called. It is 11 minutes past the hour. It is Parish of the Week Wednesday. We'll be talking with our first guest here today after the break. Father John Fain will be with us, pastor of our Parish of the Week, St. Therese of Lisieux in Lansing. And then we'll also be talking today with Deacon Fred Bellotto, returning guest of Epiphany, volunteer manager at Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan, to share updates on evangelical charity events and initiatives across the AOD. And I want to remind you that Pope Leo XIV is encouraging all of us to pray the Rosary in the month of October, starting today, October 1st. Pray the Rosary. And we're asking you to easily download the Ave Maria radio app. Tap the prayer to hear Father John Ricardo recite the Holy Rosary. I pray with him all the time on my walks with my headphones. So I pray the Rosary with Father John, and I absolutely love it. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back with Parish of the Week Wednesday.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor, in honor of St. Therese of the Child Jesus, whose relics are at the Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, from October 1st through October 8th. For more information and to register, go to shrinechurch.com/relics.
You can be a day sponsor too. Just pick up the phone and call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, "I want to be a day sponsor."
Guest House invites you to the 67th Annual Detroit Bishop's Dinner, Thursday, October 9th. The evening begins with Mass at 4 p.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church, followed by a gourmet dinner and program at the Palazzo Grand in Shelby Township. Enjoy an inspiring keynote address from Joseph McGivney, along with an unforgettable night of faith, fellowship, and hope. For more information and to reserve your spot, visit guesthouse.org.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, I'm Ed Bahura. Are you kids struggling with school? Give them the boost they need with Sylvan Learning Centers. Our experienced tutors make learning fun and effective. And for a limited time, get the first month of tuition at 50% off. Call us now at 1-800-EDUCATE. Don't let this amazing offer pass you by. That's 50% off the first month at Sylvan Learning Centers, where brighter futures begin. Enroll today.
Our next guest Father John Fain joins us for Parish of the Week Wednesday. He's served in the Diocese of Lansing since ordination at several different locations. Father Fain has since become the administrator for St. Therese of Lisieux Parish, and he continues in that role today. And he's here to talk with us about St. Therese of Lisieux and his path to priesthood. Thank you so much for joining us, Father John Fain.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Oh, my pleasure. And so give us a background, Father John, about St. Therese of Lisieux Parish. What would you like to share with our listeners about your parish?
It's on the north side of Lansing, and it's in a neighborhood parish. It's a little hard to find. When I was assigned to a different parish in Lansing, I actually didn't know where St. Therese was. You really kind of have to look for it. But it's a wonderful parish. It's about 500 families. I think two things stand out about it. It's a very welcoming community. People really have that sense when they come here as visitors or people looking for a new parish. They just feel very welcome by our greeters and by our parishioners at Mass. It's a community with a great sense of hospitality. And I also think there's really a great ministry to the neighborhood. We have a tutoring program here at the parish, and we have 30 tutors who tutor about 45 students, and it's one-on-one tutoring. Yeah, it's a great program.
That's very cool.
It is, yeah. They're students who, you know, have a need for more education, a need to be tutored, and it's a great program for the neighborhood. And we have community picnics 3 times a year at the parish where just the neighborhood is invited. We usually have about 100 to 150 people come for those, and there's just a great outreach to the neighborhood. We have a very large St. Vincent de Paul fraternity, about 60 volunteers, which is, it's quite a big size for a parish of 500 families to have that many volunteers be involved. So that's just kind of a little taste of St. Therese. So I think, it's welcoming spirit, but also its outreach to the neighborhood, I think, really stand out.
So, Father, is there a school attached to it, or is the tutoring program just a separate program?
Yeah, it's a parish program, the tutoring center.
Yeah.
The school was closed about 15 years ago before I came.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the tutoring, what a wonderful program. How did that come to be, and how long has it been around? That was very insightful to add something like that.
Yeah, it's been around for, I would say, 10 years, and it was founded by two of our parishioners, Katie Rios and Leslie Ozanich, and they just had a dream and came to me in the parish leadership and just said, we'd love to do this, and it's really taken off. It's a great help to the local schools in the area, and yeah, a lot of students get referred by their teachers, particularly in the public school system. Mm-hmm. And, it's a wonderful, wonderful outreach to, to students and their parents.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And a lot of kids need that extra help, along the way. And there's nothing wrong with getting that help. And it's wonderful to get it at a faith-based, from a faith-based perspective at the church. How wonderful. So, Father, tell us a little bit about your path to priesthood. Give us a little bit of your journey.
Well, I grew up in Flint, and my family attended St. Michael Church, which was closed a few years ago, unfortunately, but I grew up at that parish. I went to St. John Vianney School, which is pretty close to St. Michael's, and I would say really a big part of my vocational journey was the inspiration of the priests at my home parish, St. Michael, mm-hmm. and then at the Catholic school I went to, St. John Vianney. They just had a wonderful sense of priesthood, and I was really inspired by that. And I attended school at St. John Vianney and went to Powers Catholic High School, and after graduating from there, I went to St. John Vianney Minor Seminary in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And just had a couple of priests there who were just wonderful examples. One of them, Father Paul Serba, became the Bishop of Duluth, Minnesota, and he made a particular impact on me. So I think I've just been blessed by the example of good and holy priests over the years, and that was a big part of my journey.
Well, with that said, being inspired by good holy priests, you know, how do you see your role as a priest maybe inspiring other young men to consider and discern the priesthood?
Yeah, it's something I definitely see as a major role for a priest, just being involved in the lives of young men and their family, and, you know, also encouraging girls to consider their religious life.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that there's a shortage of lay ministers, too. I was a youth minister for a while, and there's just a real shortage of youth ministers out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a hard position to fill in parishes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the more we can do as priests to inspire vocations, the better. And, you know, I think it's a matter of just being involved in religious education programs, having youth see you active in the parish, getting to know their families, praying for them. I think all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, you know, that's so wonderful and it's so important. And sometimes all the young people need is somebody to kind of plant that seed in them, you know, who, you know, maybe they're afraid to even discern it because nobody sees it in them. So that's wonderful, Father John Fain. We're talking with Father John Fain here today, pastor of St. Teresa of Lisieux Parish in Lansing. It's Parish of the Week Wednesday here in Epiphany. And I understand, Father, you were instrumental in working with Bishop Boyer to obtain first-class relics of St. Louis and Zélie Martin, St. Teresa's parents. A complex task. Tell us a little bit about this.
It's quite a process to go through.
Mm-hmm.
They had just been canonized, and I didn't know a great deal about them, but I did study what the impact they had on St. Teresa, but also on the other daughters in the family. Just their family life was really inspiring, and I can see why they were canonized saints. But obtaining the relic, it was a matter of approaching the bishop, writing to him, and asking that he work through his chancellor, who's Michael Andrews in our diocese. And they did write to the head of the Carmelite order in Rome and made an appeal for the relic to come to St. Teresa. They did say at the time that, I suppose we applied for it pretty early after their canonization, but they did say that we were, at that time, one of the very few parishes in the world to obtain a relic of Louis and Zélie Martin. So that was very special for the parish.
That's wonderful to have that. And so, for Parish of the Week, we're talking about Parish of the Week Wednesday here today with Father Fain. And Father Fain, what is it like? You also served at several other locations within the Diocese of Lansing. What experience mm-hmm. you take with you when you go from one parish to the next? Because they're all so different. You know, it's not a one size fits all with parish to parish.
Yeah, that's true. Each one is a little bit different, but I would say that out of really every parish I've been at, I've just really encountered good and holy people, just very welcoming people. It's always hard to leave a community behind. I found that at every parish I've left and moved on from. But it's amazing how people stay in touch. And my first assignment was at St. Gerard here in Lansing. And it's just amazing. Lansing, it's a city, but it kind of has a small town feel. And it's just amazing how you continue to encounter people here in town. And I served at St. Mary Cathedral for a time and the Church of the Resurrection here in Lansing as well. And all wonderful parishes. And I've stayed in touch with people. I was the pastor of St. Paul at Owosso for about 5 years and keep in contact with them. And but yeah, I think you take, you know, each community has its own feel. It has its own strengths, its own challenges. And I think you learn from them and take them to the next parish you serve.
Mm, yeah. I also like to ask guests whenever possible, Father, about those light bulb moments where the Lord really shines truth on our life. And, you know, in honor of our name, Epiphany here, these epiphany moments where you kind of see where the Lord is leading you or what he's teaching you. Do you have, you know, we have many of these throughout our lifetime. We just kind of have to pay attention to them. But do you have one you can share with our listeners here today, an epiphany moment?
Yeah, it actually occurred pretty recently. I was celebrating Mass, and this occurred in June of this year, and just had this excruciating pain in my stomach. I'd been feeling it for a couple of days, but it was just terrible that particular day. And so I went to my doctor a little later in the day, mm-hmm. and she said, "You're extremely ill. You could die. I need you to go to the hospital right away."
What?
And, yeah, it was pretty dramatic, actually. So I did go to the hospital, and turns out I had a ruptured colon that went septic. And
whoa.
So I had an emergency surgery and then a second one a couple days later. And I was intubated during that time. I don't really remember anything. I was anointed by two priests during that time, which I really appreciate. But when I came out of it, I guess two things really stood out. I really felt a sense of peace, and I felt like if God had called me home, I would be at peace with that. I would have liked to have said goodbye to family and friends, but I really felt, especially after being anointed, that if that was God's will for me, I was ready. And then the second thing, too, I really felt that God had a plan and purpose for letting me stay behind, that there was something further in ministry that I needed to do, and I just received so much support from current parishioners, former parishioners, family, friends, and it really gave me a new appreciation, I think, for ministry to the sick and dying. Mm. So I guess that's maybe the epiphany moment that I do feel a special call to strengthen that ministry in my life, and hope that it impacts other people as well.
Yeah, it's a new part of your vocation, it sounds like, Father Fain.
Right. It really, I feel, is.
Mm. Well, that's a blessing. Father John Fain here with us, Pastor St. Therese of Lisieux Parish in Lansing. Any last words? Anything else you want to share with our listeners here today, Father, that you want them to know about your parish or your ministry?
You know, there are a lot of wonderful books on St. Therese. I could recommend one.
Okay.
That I've been reading recently. It's called The Way of Trust and Love, and it's by Jacques Philippe, who's a pretty well-known spiritual writer. He's a French priest.
Yep, I know him.
And good. Mm. And it's a pretty easy read, but just very profound. Mm-hmm. So I'd highly recommend that book.
Mm. Well, thank you for that, because I'm an avid reader. I love to read, and we have the Epiphany Book Club going on. Every month we pick a different book. So I really encourage people to read as part of their faith journey, a wonderful Catholic book. So thank you for that recommendation. And thank you, Father, for being with us here today.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
God bless you and all that you do. Father John Fain with us from the Diocese of Lansing for Parish of the Week Wednesday. If you have a parish you want us to feature here on Epiphany, we would love to hear from you. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net, fill out a form, and Jana Shanley will get back to you. Or you can easily email us at epiphany@AveMariaRadio.net. Put in the subject line POW for Parish of the Week Wednesday, and Jana will get back to you. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back after this.
Gather with local business professionals for a morning of inspiration at the Archdiocese of Detroit's 32nd Annual Mass for Commerce. Mass will begin at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, October 22nd at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, followed by a time of networking over a hot breakfast. A free will offering will be accepted at the event, or you can donate online when you register by clicking the events tab at AOD.org. That's AOD.org. The doctor is in Ann Arbor. Don't miss this chance to join Dr. Ray's studio audience for tapings of his hit TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray.
The live audience makes the show.
The tapings are October 28th and 29th. Two shows each night at 5:30 and 7:15 p.m. All shows are at Russell Video in Ann Arbor, and the cost is free.
Without the audience, there is no show.
Just sign up at AveMariaRadio.net.
Very much would love to see you.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents. And despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life, and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness in crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
Our next guest is a returning guest of Epiphany, volunteer manager at Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan, talking about updates to evangelical charity events and initiatives across the Archdiocese of Detroit. Joining us now is Deacon Fred Bellotto. Deacon, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Vanessa. How have you been?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. Enjoying the last bit of the summer and the fall season. So it's been going well. So how are things at Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan?
Well, things are going very well. Lots of activity, lots of opportunities that I want to speak with you about and your audience about in terms of volunteering opportunities. But yeah, I would just say one thing. In the past, when I've been on your show, I was the Associate Director of Evangelical Charity at the Archdiocese of Detroit. Well, the work of that office has moved over to Catholic Charities. There's a good synergy there, putting us closer to the actual service. Catholic Charities, of course, is the charitable arm of the Archdiocese of Detroit. So that has afforded us some opportunities to, I think, a greater synergy between, you know, the goals of Catholic Charities and of the Archdiocese. And some of that will come out in what I'd like to talk to you about today.
Sure. So let's talk about that. What are some opportunities for people listening here?
Yeah, so the noble purpose of Catholic Charities is to engage the Catholic community in the works of mercy, to live out Matthew 25, right? You know, that scary but yet very encouraging passage where Jesus encourages us to feed the hungry. He doesn't encourage us. He commands us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned and whatnot. So I want to talk about three ways at Catholic Charities where we offer this opportunity for the Catholic community to engage in the works of mercy. So first, I'd like to touch on these service retreat days. This is something that we kind of created at Catholic Charities. It's a designed day where a parish can come in and take part, a parish or a group. There's really no limit to this. This could be high school kids. This could be a group of people from a corporation, whatever the case may be, but have an intentional service day, one that is inspired by Unleash the Gospel. That marker 8.4 that talks about evangelical charity is still a guiding principle for us. It's because it says this, if I may, our service to the poor and marginalized, this is Archbishop Vigneron, right? Our service to the poor and marginalized needs to be a clear witness to Jesus our Lord. We need to ensure that our ministering to the material needs of others, we are also responding to their spiritual thirst for God. So in this service retreat day, we would design it in a way where a group would come in. In fact, I'll give you an example we recently did with Our Lady of Star of the Sea back in August. So their staff came in, the school and the parish staff came in. So we did this at the Center for the Works of Mercy, which is directly across from the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral in Detroit. They came in. We attended 8 o'clock Mass at the cathedral. So we want to bring in that Jesus encounter for those who are going to serve, and for also if the day lends itself to the clients that we're going to interact with. So we started with Mass. I was there, so I served Mass, and Father JJ kindly let me give the homily, which I focused on the works of mercy. So we're starting that day in prayer and in service, in praising God and reflecting upon our call, the call of Matthew 25, for example. So then we walk over to the Center for the Works of Mercy. We had a reflection about what the poor in Detroit experience. Nick Herman, our director, did a beautiful job of explaining what our clients at the Center for the Works of Mercy face. I had a light breakfast, and then we toured the center, which houses a mercy market. All this we're going to get to, it's going to all connected in the rest of this my little presentation here. We have a mercy market, so we feed the hungry. People come in and they get food. It's like a little grocery store. We have a clothing closet, so we clothe the naked. People come in and get clothes, and it's all free. We have also in there our mission partner, the Order of Malta, has a medical, dental, and vision clinic on site. So we took a tour of that, and then we put everybody to work, 45 people, packed food. There's a big job of receiving the food that we get from various sources and putting them in usable boxes for delivery, for example, or even stocking them on the shelf. So they came in and helped us with that, helped us with sorting tons of clothes that we had donated, and also making like a blessing bag for the homeless. And Nick, our director, said, look, this work would have taken two people an entire week to do, maybe 2 weeks, and we did it in a couple hours because so many hands were there. So the point I'm trying to get across, I hope it's coming across, look, this is a day of where you do tangible service. You live out the call to serve the poor, but you're also having an encounter with Christ and understanding why we're doing this and why it's so important for it to be evangelical charity. Vanessa, we've talked about this in the past. People to unleash the gospel, to evangelize.
Yeah.
There's the good, the true, and the beautiful, right? Three transcendentals. And we've talked about this in the past, about how people struggle with the truth now. But I would argue that no one struggles with the good. Very few people struggle with the good. An atheist would come to this event I just described. They don't want to go to Mass, but they do want to work in a clothing closet. They do want to pack food and provide food for the hungry. And this is an opportunity to spread the gospel to both our volunteers and to the people we encounter. So there's many opportunities like that, but I do want to encourage this one in particular, because if somebody out there hears this and has a group that wants to come in, I'll give you my contact information later. We can arrange it and design an event. That was just one event. We can do many different things. Okay?
Yeah. I love that. So, a lot of companies and organizations, as part of their opportunity to collaborate with the community, which we talk about so much here, Deacon, on Epiphany, this gives an opportunity to do that, to go out to the community and to be part of the community and help those in need in that collaboration. I mean, there's companies all the time that are looking for nonprofits to collaborate with.
Right, and we want to do that. One of the goals of my role now at Catholic Charities is to foster more. We have many relationships already, but to foster more of those, Vanessa, you know, to reach out to the colleges and school, high schools and corporations, mission partners that want to join forces with us. You know, we're stronger together, and we're finding a lot of interest in that. So this service retreat that I just described to you, you can see the hand of the Holy Spirit in this is where I'm going with this next comment.
Yeah.
We kind of came up with that. Paul Propson and I and Father Matthew Kalkowski, we thought about this idea, and we did one maybe a year and a half ago. And then what we're finding, though, is parishes are calling us out of the blue and practically using our own words asking for this. You know, they might say something like a service retreat there. They're, you know what I'm saying? They're calling us asking for something that we want to do. It's not.
Yeah.
It's the Lord's making them known we're here.
And yeah.
It's encouraging. Yeah.
So I want to elaborate a little bit more, Deacon Fred Bellotto, on the service retreat day. So people listening, and they want to do this, walk us through the logistics again. Like, how does this work exactly?
Well, I would use the word design to
okay.
open our minds, right? It
okay.
doesn't have to be. It's not a linear one-way cookie cutter. So we have
perfect.
Many sites
okay.
I'm talking a lot about today. I'll be talking a lot about the Center for the Works of Mercy.
Uh-huh.
But we also have La Casa Amiga in Pontiac. We have the Residence of St. Matthew, which recently opened on the east side. It's a permanent supportive housing for chronically homeless and low-income housing. So we have opportunities there. We have a foods program, St. Leo's Soup Kitchen. So we can design something. Like, for example, if your parish wanted to do a food drive that benefited our food pantry, we could do something like that and make a service mm-hmm. retreat day out of it. We did one with St. Irenaeus Parish. I think it was maybe the first one we ever did. Was we took them to La Casa Amiga. We started with Mass at St. Irenaeus. They happened to be very close to La Casa Amiga. We drove over. We had a talk that Father Matthew and I participated in where we explained the how and the why of evangelical charity. Why do we call it that? Why must we live it out? And how do we do it practically? That's the intimidating part. Well, how do I, you know, encounter people and share the gospel? So we talked about that. And then we packed Easter baskets for young people. So, I mean, yeah, so it can be anything. So that's, I think, the best thing to do, the call to action, the follow-up, is to reach out to me.
Okay.
And I'll provide my contact information at the end if that's okay.
You can provide it now, and we'll give it out at the end again, too.
Okay, yeah, my email address is Bellotto F. So Bellotto is my last name, B as in boy, Illotto,
uh-huh.
F as in Fred,
uh-huh.
at ccsem.org, ccsem.org. So, yeah, email me there. Yeah, I got a phone number here, too. My corporate phone number, my Catholic Charities phone number is 248-607-6679.
We're going to put this up in our archive section of Epiphany as well, Deacon, so people can easily access it. So Bellotto F,
great.
You said Bellotto F at ccem.org?
CCSEM, Catholic Charities Southeastern Michigan. CCSEM.org.
But it's Bellotto F, like in
yes.
your name, Fred. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
Yep.
So we're going to have that up in our archive section of Epiphany. I was just typing as you were talking. You know, Deacon, can you talk to us about the importance of this volunteerism, going out and helping the community, in terms of what it does for our own faith and our journey and our relationship with Christ? What does it mean to us as Catholics?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is Saint Pope John Paul II when he said, man only truly finds himself when he makes a gift of himself. It's this whole law of the gift that John Paul II so beautifully taught, you know, that our being increases. God's own divine life in us. Look, we're sons and daughters of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that divine life that God wants to share, that God does share with us, grows. Increases in the measure that we give ourselves away. It's such a paradox, isn't it, to the way we think in this world today? So that very act of volunteering, look, I'm no expert on what I'm about to say. I'm going to get out of my swim lane here in a minute. But I've read a little bit that volunteering actually helps depression and anxiety. It lessens those things when we go out. And doesn't that fit with the truth that Pope John Paul II just taught us?
Yeah.
That I recounted? Our being increases. We're living more freely. We're loving as Jesus commands us to do. So when we're doing that, when we're in that Jesus space where, you know, we're allowing grace to work in our lives by actually surrendering our time, treasure, and talent and putting it in the hands of God, that's a blessing to our spiritual lives. It makes us more whole.
Yeah, we're meant to connect too, Deacon. We're meant to not just fellowship, but there's beauty and value in helping other people out. I remember Father John Ricardo talked about this, about his mother, you know, and how she suffered. And she said that she always felt, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting directly, but she felt peace, and there was something so beautiful about helping people who were in worse situations that she was in, you know. And sometimes we need to get out of our own suffering and our own pain and stop focusing on it and help somebody else who's in a worse situation.
Yeah, I totally can identify with that. I think sometimes it's a lot simpler than we think. I think, well, first of all, I would say one of the goals I hope that comes out of our discussion right here is the invitation.
Yeah.
Many people want to help and they don't know what to do. So here's an invitation. And we all can like think like that too. Like, do we have something where we want to organize some charitable work or some activity that blesses our community and invite others to get involved with it? But no, this idea of inviting people so that they can participate in it. And that's something we want to accomplish at Catholic Charities. And I guess I was going down a path of, you know, it can be intimidating. Well, how do I evangelize while I'm volunteering? Well, okay, you know, first of all, you don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. You pray before you go, and you be intentional about it. You look for opportunities. I'll share one. We had a foot washing event that Jacqueline at Catholic Charities organized at St. Leo Soup Kitchen. So, you know, I was there to, like, help if maybe enough volunteers didn't show up. But there were enough volunteers. So at that time, homeless people in need are coming in for a meal, but they're also having an opportunity to get their feet washed, new pair of socks, new pair of shoes, and that's all happening. They didn't need me in that area. So I thought, well, what else can I do? So I went and I just sat down and had lunch with some people. And I want to talk about Jesus. I want to bring him the gospel, but I just let it kind of just sit there and have a conversation. I met a guy kind of the same age as me. We connected on the Detroit Lions. We're talking about sports. And the next thing you know, he brings up Jesus. See, it's just being there, right? It's just being there. Just kind of let it happen. You know, if it doesn't work perfect, don't worry about it. You just, you know, the fact that you're intentional about it, you prayed about it, you asked the Lord for an opportunity, things kind of just work out, you know. So it's intentionality, I think, is really important.
Deacon Fred Bellotto is here with us from Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan, and we're talking about evangelical charity events throughout the AOD and how you can get involved. Service retreats and active volunteers are needed, and so if the Lord is putting on your heart to give back, this may be a perfect opportunity. Deacon, you talked about like church groups and school groups. What about families? You know, there's a lot of homeschool families today. Is this a project that homeschool community can get involved in?
Yeah, in fact, I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't thinking about that right now. And I think it's a good segue. I want to talk about these active volunteer opportunities that you mentioned. So the reason I think it's really good for homeschoolers is because they have the flexibility. The next couple of volunteer opportunities I'm talking about they're like daytime, 10 a.m. to noon, 9 a.m. to noon, noon to 3 kind of thing. So here's an example to answer your question and to, you know, open it up to anyone else who's available during these times. So at the Center for the Works of Mercy, again, it's located at 10301 Woodward Avenue, right across the street from the Blessed Sacrament Cathedral on Woodward. We need, all the time, we need helpers in our Mercy Clothing Closet and our Mercy Market. So the Clothing Closet, we need a clothing attendants on Mondays and Wednesdays, like 10 a.m. to noon and 1 to 3 p.m. They're different shifts. You can sign up for as much as one time or recurring. It's up to you. And they help with a variety of tasks, welcoming clients, sorting donations, and helping clients shop for the items. And in the Mercy Market, so you picture that, it's like a little grocery store. And we need help, again, Monday and Wednesday, 9 a.m. to noon, noon to 3 p.m. And we do client intakes, assess the person's family needs, you know, and then help them find that stuff in the store. So, yeah, it's contact with their client base, and it's something that families certainly can do. And in fact, anyone who's available during those time slots, they're a little bit hard for us to fill because they're during the day, you know.
Yeah.
And so that maybe helpfully answers your question. I have one more I want. We need.
Go ahead. You have about a minute left, and then we got to go. Let you go. But go ahead. Say whatever you. What Thank else you. You want to share to our listeners? Of course, Deacon.
Yeah, I will say. I will say this. We have a senior outreach, a need for senior outreach pantry assistance at the campus of St. Lucie Catholic Church. And it's a similar role to what I just described. Since I only have a minute left, I'll tell you how to find all this stuff so you don't have to remember it. So I got a threefold call to action. First one, volunteer. Go to ccsem.org and click on volunteer opportunities. So right on the front of our homepage, you'll see a little gold box that says volunteer opportunities, and it'll take you and show you everything that we need help for. Second one, I say, if you can't do it physically, donate. And on that same page, ccsem.org, click on the donate button. And then also, if you want to learn more, if this is all mysterious to you and you have questions, contact me, Deacon Fred Bellotto, 248-607-6679. And that's, again, my email address is bellottof@ccsem.org. Bellotto is B-I-L-L-O-T-T-O. So if I have one more, any seconds left, I have one thing I'd like to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're doing this. You know, Akima, I really reached out to your team to recruit for this bed build. It's called the Sleep and Heavenly Peace Bed Build. I'm happy to say that we're at max capacity for volunteers, but this is something that we're doing to, we find there's a great need for kids. Kids don't have beds to sleep in. Can you believe this in the United States? Well, this 501c3, a mission partner, we're going to partner with them on Saturday, October 11th. We're going to build 50 beds from a pallet of wood into beds that will eventually be delivered to families that have put their name on a list. So we've got 100 people coming out to do that from all around the Archdiocese.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And, yeah, right at the Center for the Works of Mercy again. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Deacon Fred Bellotto. We ran out of time, but it's always a pleasure to have you on Epiphany.
All right. Will we see you on the cruise this year?
I will be there, yep, hosting Epiphany. Very excited about it.
All right, great. See you
God bless you and all that you do. Deacon Fred Bellotto here with us on Epiphany. Stay with us, everyone. We'll talk about who's coming up tomorrow on the program.
Resetting your password. Unsubscribing from emails. Printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, this Jubilee year in the Church is dedicated to the virtue of hope. Our guest, Kevin Matthews, will share how he found hope for his own brokenness through a broken statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
Looking for a good book to read? Then check out the Epiphany Book Club, where Vanessa Denhagarmo and Jeff Kassab bring you a new book to discuss every month. Read along with us, and then call in and join the discussion on the Epiphany Book Club. This month's book is Christ, Science, and Reason by Father Robert Spitzer, and the discussion will be on Friday, October 17th. Get your copy today in our online bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. As a father who has helped homeschool my 10 children, I know the challenges you face. That's why you should check out Sylvan Learning Centers for personalized support tailored to your child's unique needs expert tutors in math, reading, and writing provide fun, interactive lessons with both in-person and online options that fit seamlessly into your homeschooling routine.
Visit sylvanlearning.com. Mention Dr. Ray for 10% off at participating centers.
Thank you, Deacon Fred Bellotto, for being with us today here from Catholic Charities, and Father John Fain sharing with us the St. Teresa Lisieux Parish in Lansing story here for Parish of the Week Wednesday. Coming up on Epiphany tomorrow, we actually have a very packed show. Three guests. Teresa Tamio will be here to talk about the importance of public debate on difficult critical issues. Timothy Pruse with Right to Life Lifespan tells us about pro-life events taking place during this Respect Life Month. And Jack Rasula promoting the Anything is Possible Speaker Series event coming up with Father Steve Mateja on October 9th. So it's a very packed show here on Epiphany tomorrow. We hope you tune in. And, of course, it is the feast day of St. Therese of Lisieux, asking that wonderful saint to pray for us. And she's known for several quotes, and I shared many of them with you. Every flower has its own created beauty, splendor of the rose. The lily's whiteness does not deprive the violet of its scent, nor lessens the daisy's charm. If every flower wanted to be a rose, nature would lose her spring adornments, and the fields would not be beautiful with their varied flowers. So it is in the world of souls, the living garden of God. I love that one. Don't forget to connect, communicate, and collaborate with your Catholic community. We are your local Catholic radio station. Don't go away. Coming up next is Dr. Ray.